All right. So last week we dealt with the dine d'oraisa, actually the malacha of bishul, the prohibition of bishul. What does it mean? Cooking, specifically having to do with cooking with water. There's an issue which we touch on tonight, but not really. It's not really that relevant about what is cooking food. I mean, is cooking food how cooked does it have to be in order to be cooked? It's a dispute among, in the Gemara. It's a dispute among Rishonim. It's really not that relevant for our purposes. I don't think any of us are really wondering about how much can I get away with in terms of putting meatballs on the stove. Can I cook it a tiny amount? I don't think it's really, you know, we're not really playing around with that kind of stuff. Last week we dealt with liquids, hot liquids that we are playing around with, how to make tea, how to make coffee, those kinds of things. Just the two, one main clarification I talked about last week, I was looking into it over the course of the week, so we had a little bit of confusion with regards to the kli shlishi. When you turn to the kli shlishi, is it better to put the stuff in, to put the essence or the tea bag in first, or is it better to put the water in first and then the coffee and tea bag in? So it seems like it's actually in the Rabbi Ribiat book right here. So he quotes the idea that it's better to actually have the thing in there first, have the coffee and tea bag in there first. Why? He says because the idea of iroi kli sheni, the idea that, right, we've talked about that pouring in from the primary vessel into the secondary vessel, that is a concept of iroi, that we're afraid that you're pouring onto something and that causes a degree of vishal. Once you get past the klisheni, most assume that doesn't really exist, and by putting the object in first, you're avoiding a different problem. You're avoiding the problem of tzoveya. So really, tzoveya is not really that big a problem anyways. Right? The idea that you're coloring, right, if you're dyeing the water, so to speak. So we don't really assume that that's an issue. But to avoid that issue entirely, so if you have the dyeing object in first and you're pouring water in on top of it, so then that's, talk about Hilchos Tzoveya another time. That's not that's for sure not a violation of Tzoveya. So that's he recommends that you actually put the either the tea bag or the coffee or whatever, hot chocolate, whatever it is that that you're putting in with the hot water, that you put that in first and then you put the water in on top of it. Okay. Yes.
Could you just review really, really quickly the bread business?
Are
you going to get to it later?
No, bread is also, now we're all on Atkins, we don't do bread anymore. bread was...
Because it's baking.
Right. The issue we talked about with bread was that if bread is baked, right, so if you're going to take bread and put that in hot water, so even though we are going to talk about the concept of ein bishul achar bishul, that we don't have cooking following another cooking, but there is a possibility of what we call bishul achar afia, that if you've baked something, so that doesn't necessarily preclude you from cooking it going forward. So if you take your challah, your regular baked challah, and then you put that in your big pot of soup that's on the fire, right? So there are some Rishonim that would say that you have just violated the melacha d'oraisa of bishul, because you are now cooking something that was never cooked before. So even if you take it out from the main primary and put it in the secondary, it still might be an issue, because kli sheni also might be mevashel certain things. So that's what you say. If one has the need to have their challah and soup, so one should be certain to at least, probably a ladle should be good enough to make sure you use a ladle, put that in a different pot, and not to pour it.
I want to ask about hot chocolate.
Hot chocolate. Assuming that hot chocolate, I assume hot chocolate is cooked before. I mean, it's chocolate, right? So chocolate's got to be cooked. I assume so. I mean, chocolate. I think we can check out. Presuming that it's cooked, because it has to have been made chocolate at some point for it to be hot chocolate.
Using cocoa and using the instant. You don't have to cook it. I put the hot chocolate mix in a milkshake. You don't have to heat it.
No, but if you want to. If you want to, she asked if you want to.
Yeah, I think it's ready to eat.
It's
ready to eat, yeah.
Yeah, it should be.
Like,
you would think it was like coffee.
I assume that it's the same, but regardless, if you. I would say if you put it into a kli shlishi, if you put it into the tertiary, yeah. So if you put it right, but of course coffee hasn't been cooked. I believe cocoa has, but even if it hasn't, if you put it into a kli shlishi, so then you should be able to do it. Okay, I want to this week. So we're kind of leaving a little bit the malacha of bishul, even though we're talking still about the issues involved with heating up food. The issues we're going to deal with are are somewhat related to Bishul. Sometimes they're categorized that way, but actually is not so relevant. But I wanted to just start with the following premise. There is a Ramah that mentions the following idea at the end of his discussion about these issues of heating up food on Shabbos or having hot food on Shabbos. So he has the Ramah ends that discussion by saying the following line: "Umitzvah lahatmin b'Shabbos." That there is a mitzvah to insulate. There's a mitzvah to make sure you have hot food on Shabbos. That part was specifically talking about hatmana, insulation, which we'll talk about in the future. "Umitzvah lahat." It's a mitzvah to have hot food on Shabbos. "Kadeisha yochal chamin b'Shabbos." That you will eat hot food on Shabbos. Why? "Kizehu mikavod v'oneg Shabbos." Because this is part of the honor and the enjoyment of Shabbos. "V'chol mi she'eino mamin b'divrei chachamim v'oster achilas chamin b'Shabbos." And all of those that don't believe in the words of the chachamim and they prohibit eating hot food on Shabbos, "Chayshin an shema apikorisu." So we're concerned that perhaps they are an apikoris, that perhaps they are a heretic. So that's bad news. We don't want to be known as that. But why would I think that such a person is a heretic? So what the Ramah is specifically talking about is that the pasuk says in the Torah, "Lo suvaru esh b'chol mashal seichem," which means to have fire anywhere in your house. So you're not allowed to have fire anywhere in your house. At least that's what the tztukim said. That's what the Sadducees or the Karayim or the those whole groups. So they say, well, it says in the Torah you can't have a fire anywhere in your house. That's what the Torah says. So they leave out the Torah Shabbat Peh. The Torah Shabbat Peh means you're not allowed to start a fire. You're not allowed to use a fire in certain ways. They leave out the oral tradition. As we've pointed out, if one is interested, there still are Karayim churches around. You can find them. They have websites. They have very interesting practices and calendars and all that kind of stuff. They have them in Israel and they have them in San Francisco. So that's what the Ramah is specifically talking about. But really what the Ramah means, the expansion of that is that we are responsible not just to say, well, these halachos are a little bit confusing, I'm not sure exactly all the details, whatever. You know what, just to avoid a prohibition, I'm just gonna have cereal and milk on Shabbos, right? I came to Minchan Marv this past week. We talked about a bracha you make on cereal and milk. I can handle cereal and milk, right? And that's what I'm going to eat on Shabbos, and that way I'm going to avoid all of these issues of Bishul and Hatmada and Chazara and all these different things that we're going to talk about tonight. Life will be a lot more simple that way. So what the Ramah is saying here is, no, you're not allowed. You're not allowed. You're responsible to part of your honor of Shabbos and part of your enjoyment of Shabbos is to make sure you know how to enjoy Shabbos, is make sure you know the halachos, make sure you learn enough in order so that one can comfortably eat on Shabbos, can comfortably enjoy themselves on Shabbos, right? I assume the Karayim wouldn't even have heat in their homes, right? Lots of Aruish. Right, you shouldn't have fire. So we have really an obligation and a need to learn these halachos, make sure we know them well, so that we can apply them in an appropriate and beneficial way. Okay, so the premise of tonight, this part is still in the laws of Bishul, is that there's a very important concept known as Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. What does that mean, Ein Bishul Achar Bishul? We touched on it last week. That means that once something is cooked, it can no longer be cooked, right? Once it's done, it's done. And at least on a level of Doraisa, on the biblical prohibition of cooking, once something is cooked, it can no longer ever be cooked again. At least that would have to do with your potato kugel, right? Your potato kugel, once it's cooked, it's cooked. And once your what other solid foods do you have? Right? Once your kishka is cooked, it's cooked, right? There might be other issues with how to reheat it, but at least within the halachos of bishul, once the bishul is done, the bishul is done. One of the issues that go along with that are, well, hold on a second, that might apply to solids, but let's say I say, okay, I think, oh, we still have our urn stayed here. So we have our urn, right? It was hot during the week, and I turned it off for Shabbos, or somebody in the house pulled the plug on Shabbos. I can't imagine who that would be, right? So I say, well, hold on a second. The water was already cooked. It already once was boiling. Now it's cold. Okay, it might be cold now. But maybe do I have a right to reheat this water? Right? Or it was cooked at some point. No. So everybody around the table wants to say no. So it's not so simple that the answer is no. But at least for us, we'll assume that the answer is no. So much so that the question revolves around, excuse me, the Mechaber would seem to imply that it would be okay. We generally assume that it would be no good. The Shulchan Aruch writes, this is the second source on the page, I assume that I forgot to number them, but the second source on the page is the Shulchan Aruch Orachaim Simin Shid Yud Ches Sif Dalet Tavshil Shini Spashal Kol Tzarecho. So you have a cooked item. A cooked item, so I believe what he's talking about here is something that had a lot of water in it, something with a lot of sauce. Yeshbo mishum bishul im nitzdanin. That if it cooled off, so then there is bishul that could be involved with it. V'yeshomrim dafka im nitzdamik v'yafalo. That's only if that could actually still become better, that you're actually improving it by cooking it. Maybe it's not, but okay. V'mlo nispashel kol sorcho, if it wasn't cooked entirely, v'afilu nispashel k'maychol ben jusai, shayich bo bishul. And if it wasn't cooked in entirely, even though it was cooked to k'maychol ben jusai, what does that mean? So k'maychol ben jusai is a degree of cooking. Meaning, Michael Ben Jusai was a ganav, was a robber, and he used to eat his meat somewhat raw. So it's the Michael, the food of Ben Jusai, right? He would only cook his food either a third or a half amount of whatever that means, half cooked or a third cooked. It's unclear what that even means. I don't even understand what that means. What the Gemara implies and what the Shulchan Aruch is implying is that it is edible. That one third cooked or half cooked, what that means by Ben Jusai would eat it. So it means that Ben Jusai would eat it, that means that it was edible. It's just not optimum. It's not fit to be served at a Rita's small kiddush. That for sure is true. Okay, so it was only a third cooked. But Pinu Spashal Kamaichlu Ben Jusai, Shaykh Bo Bishul, Afilu Biodo Rosach. That if it is somewhat, even if it has reached a point of being somewhat cooked, shayich bo bishul, there still is bishul that is applicable to it. That is applicable to it. Fine. Bahani mili shiyesh bo bishul achar bishul betafshil shiyesh bo merik. And what are we talking about? That there is such a thing as bishul achar bishul, right? We've just got through saying the Gemara already implies that if there is a cooked food, all right, a cooked solid food cannot be cooked again afterwards. So when do we say that there is bishul achar bishul? That there is cooking that takes place after it's cooked? Betafshil shiyesh bo merik. When there is a cooked food in which there is merik. What is merik? Merik is either soup or sauce or some kind of liquid thing. Aval davar shenispashel kvar v'hu yavesh mutar lisroso b'chamin b'shabbos. But something that has already been cooked and it is dry, that you could put into the hot water on Shabbos, that you have full permission, full license to recook again. How we're recooking it, we're going to get to shortly. Okay, so something that is liquid, something that is in sauce, is considered, if it's cooled off, you can't reheat it. Because if you're reheating the cold stuff, so then you are, in effect, cooking it. But something that is, whether the rice or the rabbana, we're not sure, but right now we're not allowed to do it. But something that was dry, something that is completely, that's completely fine, it's completely dry. So for that we say ein bishul achar bishul, and that we have a possibility of reheating, which we're going to figure out. So the question, yes?
So this is it's any amount, like a drop.
Okay,
a certain
right.
Amount
right, right,
important.
Right. Right. So the question that we're going to say is, okay, what is tafshil shiyesh bo merik? Right? Very good. So what does it mean? Chicken soup I can't reheat, but meatballs I can? Does that mean that, well, meatballs I can, but my chicken with the that's stuck in all that, the gravy around it, right? What are we considered shiyesh bo merik? What does that mean? So the Mishnah Berurah doesn't doesn't really give you that much guidance. The Mishapura says four words. Ratzalomar shehiriku hamerik mimenu. What does that mean? That it's dry? So the Mishapura says that you have removed the sauce from it. Okay. What does that mean? So the truth is, I think that means a lot. The way that's interpreted is that you have done a decent job of making it dry. So not that, it's not in water. You've taken away the excess liquid. But the fact that there's some liquid, it doesn't mean you got to wipe it down, right? It means that, the stuff that comes off is off, and the stuff that's on it is permitted to stay on it. As long as some talk about robe, that it's a majority. I don't know if we go there. I think if you look at it and it's say, that's a piece of dry food, even though it might be somewhat moist, that's a piece of dry food. That's what we say is okay. If we look at it and say, gosh, there is some liquid on the side, that's what we say is no good. So generally, the instructions in our house are that we take out, if you have a pan, right? So last week we had meat, special occasion. We had meat which had all the gravy in the pan. So at night, you have the gravy that was left on from before Shabbos, which we're going to talk about shortly, and that's fine. What about during the day? So during the day, if you want to reheat the meat, you take the meat out. Right, you take the meat out and put that in tinfoil, whatever it is, and we'll figure out how to reheat that shortly. But if you want to reheat things that had liquid, so you remove the liquid from it. That's the line of the Mishnah Berurah. It doesn't mean, I don't think anyone assumes that it means that you actually have to wipe off all of the gravy. Because I think in that case, you'd probably end up with what we call ein ledavar sof. There's no end to that issue. Okay?
But so, else you have to take out whatever you want to warm up, because otherwise it's boil if you take out the liquid before that. Might be boil.
It might be borer. You take out the chicken, right? Right. You're taking out what you want from the stuff that's there. Good. Right. The Ramad does put in an important kula. What does it mean? So when we say that, I don't think I put it down here. When we say yesh bishel achar bishel, when we say that there is cooking after cooking, bedavar lach, so what exactly does that mean? Does it mean that it's cooled off a little bit? Does it mean it's cooled off a lot? This is the leftover soup question, the soup doubles question, the soup doubles shaila that comes up. All right, what does that mean? So what's the soup doubles question that we're talking about? That you finish your soup almost, right? And now there's a little bit that's left in the bowl. So can I have doubles of soup? So the problem with having doubles of soup is that if you're pouring in from the hot soup and now your soup is cold, so you're reheating the soup that's already in your cup. So that's already in your bowl, excuse me. Right? So how do you... So at what point is the soup considered cold? So the Ramah's language is... So you could clean the bowl. The Ramah is with bread. Now it's cold. It could be bread. So what the Ramah's language is v'nagu lahakel im lo nitztanein legamrei, if it has not totally cooled off. I mean, usually the measurement we use when we talk about liquids is what? We talk about yatzoled espel. Right? So what the Ramah is telling us here is that it doesn't have to still be yatzoled espel for it to become yatzoled espel again. It doesn't have to still be hot. Right? It still has to be warm. As long as it's still warm, so then you could get back in contact with a hot liquid and not be worried about the problem of yesh bishel achar bishel. There's a couple different degrees as to how far one has to go here. How do you pin that down? I'm not sure it comes up often enough that you really have to work on how to pin it down. But if the liquid is still hot, if you touch it and it's still warm, I think you're pretty safely in the Ramah's guidelines of allowing it to become reheated again. Okay? So that's the topic of Yesh Bishel Achar Bishel. Wow.
So, example, I have a question. Is
yes.
Like, I usually leave my cholent pot, I take cholent out into a dish, a serving dish, and put it right back on.
Right.
Now, it's almost gone, but I want to refill it, but there's still liquid stuff, whatever it is, but it's liquidy in the bowl. So the easiest thing I just do is take another bowl, because it's slightly warm. It's been sitting out, say, for whatever, 15, 20 minutes.
So that's that's the Ramaz.
But it's.
First of all, it's unclear.
Figure it out. Is it hot enough or cold enough?
Okay, so you could do that. The Ramaz, the Ramaz gives a leniency that as long as it's still warm, it's still warm. I think that's what he's saying. As long as it's not cold, legamre, as long as it's not completely cold. So it's unclear whether chillant is really liquid by the time you serve it. Each person has their own things. I don't want to go there tonight. the chillant bake off, we could have another time. What?
It is
mevushal, but what Rita was asking was that if there is real liquid that's separate, right? If you have
a
soupy chillin that's at the bottom, so then that liquid could leave the realm of mevushal. With water, it's pretty much for sure that would be yesh b'shalach or bishul. With other cooked things, it's unclear whether it really is, because when I'm cooking, right, like the liquid from a chillin, right, so that had a cooking process to it. Right? Right? It's cooked. It's different now than it was before. We've been talking about all week about vegetable soup and in lentil soup. We've been talking about that between Mincha and Maariv. Right? So the soup is different than it was before. Before it was water, now it's soup. Water. So there is a cooking process that has taken place. That's the reason to say that there might even be ein bishul achar bishul, even by liquid things. But as the Ramah, the Chumrah of the Ramah is, that yesh bishul achar bishul by devar lach, the cool of him is, if it's still warm, it can be reheated again. Okay. So now as we slide into the dinim of either reheating or other issues of utilizing a fire on Shabbos. So the issues of utilizing a fire on Shabbos is not really within the laws of Bishul. The laws of Bishul are with regard to the food, right? The food is once the food is either already cooked, right, or the food is hot, I mean, with the liquids that we talked about last week, there's no longer a bishul issue anymore, right? You can't cook anything, it's already cooked, right? When we talk about the prohibitions or the issues involved with returning, the issues involved with using a fire, so those are issues with revolving around the malacha of havara, right? The malacha of lighting a fire on Shabbos. Our concern is that we're going to rake the... In those days, we're going to rake the coals. Our concern is that we're going to control the fire a little bit, turn on the fire a little bit. All right, those are our concerns that we're really going to be dealing with the rest of the night. How do we... I shouldn't say that completely. There's going to be two concerns. The main concern right now is how do we make sure that the fire doesn't get moved. So there is a... Okay, let's start with the malacha, the dini d'rabbanan, also something else to keep in mind. What we're doing going forward are all dini d'rabbanan. I think we've pretty much finished off with our dini d'oraisa, our biblical issues. Now we're moving on to rabbinic issues. So the Rambam, even though this is a big segment of Gemara, the Rambam spells it out pretty clearly what's going on here, even though the Rambam is subject to dispute. But let's learn the Rambam. Manichin kedera al gabe ha'esh, this is the fourth source down. Manichin kedera al gabe ha'esh, o basar v'tanor, o al gabe g'chalim, v'hein mispashlim v'holchim kol ha'shabbos. Right? You can put your kedera on top of a fire, or you can put your meat into the oven, o al gabe g'chalim, or on top of coals, and let it cook all of Shabbos. V'ochlen osan b'Shabbos, and you can eat it on Shabbos. V'yesh b'davar zed dvarim shehin asurin gezeira shema yichate b'gachalim b'Shabbos. And some of these things are prohibited, lest I come to shake around the coals on Shabbos. Right? So the Rambam is saying two things here. The Rambam is saying, really, in theory, I can, right 5 minutes before Shabbos, I can put something right onto the fire. I can put my meatballs that are raw, I can put them right into the fire and let it start cooking. And, the next morning they'll be cooked and I can eat it the next morning and there would be no problem there. There would be no problem there. At least on the level of d'oraisa. However, the Rambam then says, however, there is involved with this things that are usur as a gezeira that I may go and shake the coals. I may go and move the coals around. Moving the coals around would cause some to be would come to be extinguished and others to be lit. That would be two malachos going on simultaneously. Right, that's bad news. So the rabbis want to make sure, the rabbanon want to make sure that we don't go anywhere near those coals. Okay, so that's what we're setting up now. So ketzad, when do these problems occur? So tafshil shelo bishel kol tzarcho. If you have a cooked item that wasn't cooked to its entirety, v'chamin shelo huchmu kol tzarcho, or you have a kugel, a chamin that wasn't cooked all of its way. O tafshil shebishel kol tzarcho v'chol zman shemitzdamek hu yafelo. Or you do have something that was cooked to its fullest extent. However, as long as it's still on the fire, it's going to get better tasting, better and better tasting. I mean, yes, it was already cooked right away, it's already edible, but the longer it stays on the fire, the better it's going to taste. So it's not burning, rather it's the flavor is being enhanced. Ein mashin osu al gabi ha'ish b'shabes afal pisha hunoch mibaod yom. You are not allowed to leave it on the fire on Shabbos, directly on the fire on Shabbos, even though it was left on while it was still daytime. I mean, the Rambam said, d'oraisa, biblically, I could take whatever I want, just put on the fire, as long as by the time I light candles, everything's on the fire, it's fine. D'oraisa, it's fine. The Rabbanon, rabbinically, we came along and said that if you leave, anything that still has some improvement to go, I'm not allowed to have it directly on a fire on Shabbos. Now, a lot of that, a lot of what the Rambam just said is subject to dispute, and perhaps we don't necessarily pass them like it, but it's not that dispute is not necessarily that big a deal. Okay, so we're not allowed to put things directly on the fire on Shabbos, lest I come to rattle the coals. Kedei lahashlim b'shulo, o kedei litzamko, in order to conclude its cooking, or in order to make it taste better. What are we referring to here? So what we're referring to is something was put on the something was being cooked. Friday night guests are coming, and lo and behold, they're walking up the walkway, and oh my gosh, my meatballs aren't yet completely cooked. It was already up there before Shabbos. Me being very nervous. Oh no, it's not cooked yet. I may go and move it around. Go around and adjust the flame a little bit in order for it to be cooked faster, because oy vey, the pressure's on and people are coming, and what's going to be. So in order to make sure that doesn't happen, we're going to do a couple of things. So what do we do? What are the couple of things that we do? Lefichach im garaf ha'esh o shechasa ha'esh hakira bi'afar o b'ne'ura ha'pishin hadaka o she'imlo ha'gechalim sharei hein kemechusos bi'afar o she'sikua b'kash o b'gava o b'glili ha'behema daka sharei ein sham gechalim bo'aros harei zem mutter. So what the Rambam gives, I'm not sure how to translate all of these terms, but the Rambam is basically saying is, as long as he makes sure that there is no way, that there is some kind of distinction, that I am not going to go ahead and touch that fire, right? Either I cover up the flames, or I cover up the coals, or the opening I cover up somehow I separate the fire from what it's going to hit, as long as I do something like that. If that's the case, I'm allowed to leave things on it. Because if that's the case, I have forgotten, I have given up hope on this tafshil ever being not improved, but that I could affect the speed of how this cooking is going to be done, and therefore I don't have a gazer anymore that I'm going to go and adjust the fire. Okay, so that's the basic source for the modern day blech. Right, but the Rambam, what is the purpose of a blech today? So the purpose of a blech is to avoid the problem that I may go and adjust the flame. Right, even adjusting the flame is manazeh. We talked about in the Yontif Chaburah, even adjusting a gas flame is also a malacha of either havara or mechaber, either extinguishing or lighting, etc. So I have to make sure, as long as I cover up the fire, right, that is going to, right, as soon as I'm about to adjust, I realize, oh, there's a blech there. That means that I'm not allowed to adjust the fire anymore. And that is the main reason for the blech. The blech is to make sure I don't adjust the fire.
So does it matter if it's directly over? Say you have one burner on. Does it matter if it's directly over it, or you take it off halfway, off that one burner? Say a blech has four burners, but you don't say you leave only one on.
Oh, one sec. We're not there yet. What we're only talking about right now is food that was left on from before Shabbos. Okay, nothing's coming in off the fridge yet.
So the question was that the fire had to be covered.
Right.
So is that literally the fire, or is that like?
Okay.
Things that move the fire.
Okay, so what this comes to now is. Okay, any questions so far? Well, that's the next.
Okay.
That's the tease. So the next question is, so once we say that, okay, there's got to be some kind of distinction there, what does that mean that there has to be a distinction? We could leave that alone for a second. All right, so what does that mean? What does our blech have to be, Bisman Hazeh? What does it need? So there's really two possibilities that I've kind of left ambiguous here. What is the purpose of the blech? Is the gezeira that we have to make sure that there is a separation between the food and the fire, between the food and the heat source? So that's our blech, right? The classic blech that you could buy at Home Depot, that you just get a sheet of metal and you cover up the flame and that's fine. Or is the blech that I have to... nowadays, I don't adjust the flame by going to the fire, right? There's no way, right? We adjust the flame by turning the knobs. So is the blech supposed to be between the fire and the food? Or is the blech supposed to be where I would actually... adjust it, where I would actually be do the modern day yichatis hagechalim, the modern day raking of the coals, which wouldn't be by the fire, rather it would be by the knobs. We all understand that question, right? We understand that question. So as one can imagine, we get to these minute things which happened in the 1900s, we're already now in the 1900s, right? So that's going to be left up to the dispute. So Rav Moshe Feinstein was pretty unambiguous. He said that no, the blech should be on the the blech should be, that's this top source, somewhat top source on the back of the page. Yish lahasrich blech gam kishepasuach hagaz legamri, chada da'afim leka shum chashash, tzarech mitam lo plug. Da'afim leka shum chashash, right? We need to have the blech should also be on the... kishepasuach hagaz legamri.
Completely.
Meaning on the stove is what he's referring to, right?
On the burners.
Yish lahatzich blech gam kishepatuach hagaz legamri, right, where the burner is.
As opposed to light.
Well, as opposed to the other possibility, as a, no, not as opposed to the knobs. Right, Rav Moshe writes, now I just read it again, like,
no,
it's a little ambiguous. What Rav Moshe writes is that even today, where we don't necessarily rake the coals by affecting the fire, but we do turn the knobs instead, still the blech is supposed to stay the same. The blech is defined as a separation between the fire and the food itself. Okay, that's what Rav Moshe writes. Our quote, I think they quote in the name of Aaron Cutler, that the blech is no. Nowadays, you adjust the flame by turning the knobs. So if you adjust the flame by turning the knobs, the blech should be by where the knobs are. So that's where. So I think most assume, like Rav Moshe, that you cover the blech goes on the flame itself. They do sell. You can't buy these in Home Depot, but you got to buy in the Jewish stores. Even in Queens, we have some of these. The bended blechs, where they have the blech and then you cover up the knobs. Right? If we live in Philadelphia and don't want to schlep up and want to be yotzei both opinions with the blech, you can buy the blech in Home Depot and you can take off the knobs yourself, right? you can bend the blech yourself too.
In order to take
some kind of distinction. So what we're looking for is to fulfill Rav Moshe a separation between the fire and the cooked and the food that is hopefully cooked already.
Would you describe before in a situation of somebody's coming in, an unexpected guest is coming in, and you want to hurry up the food.
Yeah.
So it's not a question of, I forgot myself and I turned it by, I turned the knob by mistake. With the reason for that bluff, if I understood it correctly, was to say, I'm never going to be able to set the gas high enough to cook the food much faster, because this blech is going to slow down the cooking process anyway. So I'm being mayuash in terms of expecting the food to... So if that was the case, then the blech goes on top of the flame. If you're saying that I might accidentally turn the knob on, then you're going better with a cup.
I have a question just like that in a way. If the blech is just a simmon to remind you you can't turn the flame up, does it have to be a solid piece of metal, or can be like a grate that has slots in it because it's still a simmon?
Yes, I think Rav Moshe is saying loplug. Rav Moshe is saying that loplug means that we don't... If Rav Moshe is saying low plug, we don't make the distinction about whether it goes on the fire or not goes on the fire. I think he would say the same thing, that the Gemara is assuming that you're covering it up. I think we would say that you're covering it up as well.
But there's no issue about actually having food on an open flame. The only concern is that you're going to adjust the flame, right? So why would you could in fact have no blech? I mean, is that what you're saying?
There's two possibilities.
Cover up the knobs, just no blech. I mean, theoretically,
you're trying to control yourself in terms of adjusting the fire level.
Right.
You're not precluded from having a pot right on top of the fire.
No. That's what Rosh is saying. No, what the Gemara is talking about is that you cover it up. So why are you covering it up? So you're saying, well, you're covering it up because that way you'll remember not to change it.
Right.
The other reason to say you're covering it up is because, you know, you're covering it up in order to keep the fire somewhat away from the thing, right? So both possibilities exist. So we're concerned for both possibilities as to the reason for the gezeirah.
But it's a gezeirah. That's why we have it.
It's a gezeirah, yeah. So we would need to analyze what the gezeirah was. I mean, the Ravonim established a certain concept. So if we got to analyze what that concept was in order to figure out how to apply it today.
So just like hot water.
Yeah. So right. So what about an urn? Right. What about an urn? Is an urn an urn regularly? Right. Assuming it's hot. Right. It's hot. There's nothing to adjust. There's nothing to deal with it. The question sometimes is, what about? Can I turn it on right before Shabbos? Can I turn the urn on right before Shabbos? Is that an issue of hatmana? At some point, that's not even an issue of hatmana because there's nothing to adjust. Right. There's nothing to adjust on this urn at least. Right.
And you're not cooking.
Nothing to do.
You're not improving it any.
But you're cooking it. If it's cold, you're cooking it.
No. The concern is that I'm going to turn it on right before Shabbos. There's nothing wrong with that. Right? My concern then is, well, people are coming to my house, also we're getting to the end of the meal, it's not done yet, oh my gosh, it's not done, I'm feeling it, it's not hot yet. Right? Is there a way that I could adjust it? Right? So there's no real way to adjust it. There's no real way to adjust it. Perhaps there's no prohibition of hatmana when it comes. Of havara when it comes.
It has to fall so bad.
Yeah.
What?
It has to be boiled before.
So I'm saying that maybe that's not true. But maybe that's not true. It only has to be boiled when you're in a situation where you can adjust it on Shabbos. When you're talking about an urn like this, where there's no knobs on, there's nothing to adjust. So perhaps it doesn't even have to be boiled before Shabbos. I'm not recommending that. Right? I'm not recommending that. There are, it's unclear what the...
So what about all the condiments?
No, you're not cooking on Shabbos. I plugged it in on Erev Shabbos. I'm done.
Yeah, but no. If you plugged it in right before Shabbos came in.
Right.
Until that thing cooks up, it's cooking into Shabbos.
No, but I'm not doing anything. I'm not touching it anymore.
And what about in Bishol Achav Bishol? The whole concept is that it has to first be Bishol. Before Shabbos.
No. Is a turn. I'm not advocating this. What I am saying is that there are certainly shittos, and makes a lot of sense to say that if you didn't make your water before Shabbos, right, and you have an urn like this where there's no adjusts on it, what's the prohibition that we're talking about here? What's the prohibition of shehiyah? Right, we're talking about shehiyah. Well, the way we started in that Rambam was that the Rambam says that as long as the food is on the fire before Shabbos starts, right? Biblically, there's no problem, right? So I can't violate Bishul anymore, right? I'm not the food's on. I'm not doing anything anymore. Then the Rambam says, however, the Rabbanan were afraid of the following idea. The Rabbanan were afraid that I'm going to try to speed up the Bishul process by adjusting the flame. So how do I make sure that I don't adjust that? So the Rabban came up with this idea called a blech. right? Even if the food is not completely cooked, right? As long as I put it on a blech before Shabbos, as long as there's some kind of separation, some kind of distinction, that I'm not going to affect the flame anymore. So that's it. I've solved my bishul problem, and now I've also solved my shehiyah problem. So we're saying by an urn, right? An urn, there's no way for me to adjust it. So it's as if there is a built-in blech. As if there's a built-in blech, and perhaps I don't have to worry about it. Now, the other side might be that if there's no blech, the Rabbanan said, if there's no blech and the food's not cooked before Shabbos, you're not allowed to do it. Right? That's the other possibility. Right? But that means that you're ignoring what the reasons are, which maybe is okay. Maybe is okay. That's a little bit ambiguous.
Your possibility, you should be willing to accept a urn like this on a Shabbos timer. So it goes on sometime on Shabbos. It goes on.
I'm not going there. I'm not going there. It's not the same. It's not the same thing. It's not. That's another time with the timers.
I'm not following something. You said, if I understood it right, you could have the cold water in the urn, and do you remember just before Shabbos, and you plugged it in.
Right.
So you're heating it on Shabbos.
Right.
You can do that.
You're not
doing anything.
The urn's
doing
it.
Right, the urn's doing it.
But you're causing it to do that. Yeah. That means you can take a pot of water and put it on your stove?
I wouldn't put it on my stove, but I certainly... How about this? Can I put a pot of cold water and put it on my blech before Shabbos?
No.
Absolutely yes.
Why?
Absolutely yes. That's what we're saying here. That's exact. That's for sure is okay. Nobody could argue with me on that.
Why are you not cooking?
That's what the Rambam is saying.
There's
a blech. You're allowed to cook. You're not allowed to cook. You're allowed to have it be cooked. You're allowed to have it be cooked. So I take my cold water, I put it on the fire. It's now I go light my candles and go to shul and come home. Right now my water is warm. So I didn't do anything. I was away the whole time. I didn't do any malachos.
So is that the same as your chicken soup?
Food would be different.
Cold. If you have,
you could come and stir it and hand.
So how do I avoid? So Joel is concerned. How am I going to avoid stirring it? Very easy. I put it on a blech. How do we make chulent? Chulent is not cooked before Shabbos comes in.
No.
It has to be cooked a certain amount in order to for me not to have to worry about violating the rabbinic prohibition of shehiyah. It doesn't have to be, as long if I could get a blech into my chillin somehow, and we could talk about that in a second. If I set up my crock, if I put a pot of chillin on a blech before Shabbos, it doesn't have to be cooked before Shabbos. I'm not cooking, right? I'm not cooking because the cooking, my action involved with cooking was already done before Shabbos, and I'm not going to adjust the flame. How do I know I'm not going to adjust the flame? There's a blech. So now I no longer have to worry about the prohibition of shehiyah.
But if the blech is hot enough that some cooking could occur, you could stir it on and then enhance the cooking process.
You mean stir the chillant?
Yeah.
All right, so stirring the chillant is next week or the week after. stirring the chillant itself, we're not doing. But I certainly don't have to put a blech to keep me from stirring. That's beyond our the possibilities.
If I understand this right, the definition of cooking is not when you put it on, it's just that you put it on the blech, and since you are not physically watching it, it's cooking itself, that's the definition
of cooking? I could even physically watch it.
Well, you're not doing anything to it.
It might be boring. It might never boil then.
Right. You're not physically doing anything to the pot, it's cooking by itself.
You're not right. The flame, you're not stirring it, you're not...
So you could put your cold chicken soup on the... Black before Shabbos? Just before Shabbos?
Yeah.
And it's going to heat on Shabbos?
Correct.
But you're not heating it.
You're not heating it, and you're for sure not going to mess around with the flame because you have a blech there.
I'm not talking about the flame, but you can put cold on the heat.
Yeah, but you know what? In reality, you're not going to do that because it's not going to get very hot.
Oh, I want it for Shabbos day.
Depends on your...
So, say...
how
high it is, and say I want it for Shabbos day. So I don't need it hot Friday night. But I didn't realize you could do that.
Yeah, so I'm just seeing if I actually have, other than this Rambam, that's clearly what the Rambam says. I'm wondering if there's a clearer
line
Shulchan Aruch can show you. What?
If you put soup on, that improves it.
What, I'm not putting anything anywhere. It's there already.
It's just getting warm. You're not actually warming it. You've thrown
the
it
stove is warming it, so that's like a thermostat.
Maybe.
Like a thermostat in your house, heating it for your house. Just turn it off.
There's no, you have no adjustment of dials. It's just like the end. It's just a halfway.
Here, very good. When a blech is properly placed on a range, it is technically permissible to leave even raw food cooking on it. Therefore, if the food was not yet cooked, one is permitted to put up the chilant even just before Shabbos. When this is done, however, the pot must not be moved or tampered with until after the food is definitely cooked to completion. This can be determined by estimating the greatest length of time. Okay. As a general rule, I agree with his advisement. As a general rule, it is always advisable to cook all the food to completion before Shabbos. In this way, many potential shilas are avoided. However, here we're learning what really is going on here. What really is going on is if you have a blech, you're permitted to put food on a blech, even right before Shabbos, even though it's completely raw. I just wouldn't touch it, as Joel said. I definitely wouldn't touch it this Shabbos and probably future Shabbos. I'd also recommend not blocking it in either. Okay, so Chazara, very good, excellent lead into the next section. How are we doing here? Okay, a little, still have some more time. Okay. Right. By the way, let me just—is this what he meant? Right, if you want to look what Rav Moshe writes here about the urn shaila that we just discussed, here Rav Moshe raises both issues. Dud chimum mayim chashmali she'i efshar lahagbir chomo. Right, you have an electric urn that it's not possible to raise the heat. Ha'im mutter lates bo mayim karim, is it possible to put cold water v'lechavro l'chashmal samach l'shabbos and then plug it in right before Shabbos? Kiven she'ein lachu shem yichate, but you're not going to rattle the coals. O shemikol makam yish lachu shal yedei hotzas chelak mehamayim yikar v'esabishol hashar, that if you let out some of the water earlier before it's cooked, the rest of the thing is going to be cooked faster. Right? So should that be our concern? So Rav Moshe responds by saying, Mistaber sheish lasarim lo yachol liyos rodkum kodem hashkia. He says it probably makes sense for us to not do it if it's not going to be hot before Shabbos. However, Rav Shlomo Zalman and the other Achronim point out that Rav Moshe was saying that, must have only been saying this as a advice. Not necessarily al pi din. But the only way Rav Moshe would have said this al pi din is because he assumes that a blech is a blech is a blech, and if there's no separation between the heat source and the water, it's going to still be a prohibition of shehiyah, even though there's no way of adjusting it. I mean, that's Rav Moshe's shita. That's also why he said the thing with the covering the flame as opposed to covering the knobs. Okay. Yes. Sorry, shehiyah is this din that we're talking about, the halacha that you can't leave fire on a hot on a pot on fire.
Direct fire
if it's not completely cooked, or according to the Rambam, or somewhat cooked according to most other Rishonim, right? That's the prohibition, the din derabanan of shehiyah. Okay. So what about chazara? What about returning to the heat source? So this is not, it will become clear from the Shulchan Aruch that it's not, but again, this is not coming out of the fridge yet. We haven't taken anything out of the fridge yet. What we're saying is as follows. Let's look at Shulchan Aruch, third source from the bottom. Kira shehi grufa viktuma v'natal hakadeir me'aleha afilu b'shabbos. Right? If the kira was covered and you took the pot off of it even on Shabbos, mutter lahachzira, I'm allowed to return it as long as it is still hot. And then the Rama adds in the oda biyado, and you're still holding it. The lohi nicha al gabi karka, and it has not been placed on the ground. Vidaiso lehachzira, and you had in mind that you were going to return it. V'dafka al gaba aval l'tocha aser. And dafka on top of the blech, but you're not allowed to put it inside of it. So this is the din of chazara. To put something directly onto a blech on Shabbos, right? So some say there's a Ram that says it's, you can take it out of the fridge and put it back on, but we're not going there. We briefly mentioned that last week. What he's saying is as follows. You have to have a bunch of conditions have to be met. Number one, you're allowed to return it. So A, it's got to still be hot. Kolzman shiro tachas. B, the oda biyado, it still has to be in your hand. You have to have actually held onto it the whole time. Three, the lohinicha al gabe karka, it wasn't put down on the ground. Okay, the daiso lahachzir, and you have to have in mind to put it back, and E, you have to put it back onto the blech.
So is this only for already cooked?
Yeah, my question,
and it has to be already cooked, yes.
My question was, it's not yet fully cooked, it's burning. If I move it...
It's burning, but not cooked?
How could that be?
Okay.
How could it be?
I've done it.
Yeah?
I've done it too. Yes.
Yeah, but it's the outside burning. Yeah. But if I move it on another part of the blech, I'm still I'm sort of participating in the cooking process because it'll still cook if it's not fully cooked. So am I allowed to do that, or do I have to just remove it and forget about that for Shabbos?
Right. So this is what we're talking about. So, up really, in your situation, where now we're stuck, it's already Shabbos, and what do I do? We don't paskin like the idea that it has to be fully cooked for it to be on a blech. Rather, we really paskin that it has to be, like the other opinions, that it has to be Michael Benjusai. So in theory, in your case, if the outside is cooked, I find it hard to believe that the inside is still cold, right? The inside is probably somewhat cooked as well. We're just trying to even it out. So in that case, it would be mutter.
But if you remove it and have it on the blech, which is over the flame, and you move it to another part of the blech, which is not as warm as a direct flame,
right.
So it's still keeping it warm,
right.
You still have to hold on to it.
No. You're putting it down. Once it's on the flame, you're putting it down.
You're putting it off the flame, but still on the blech.
Right. Right. So you're putting it down, and I could forget about it. Right. I don't have to hold on.
Move it back.
Yeah. As long as it's still on the flame, that was still hot. Yeah.
Well, no, it's not on the flame. The flame is still on. But the food
right,
is off.
It's still on the blech. It's still
on the
hot.
Blech, which the blech is hot.
Right. So that's what that's one of the recommendations. Next week we'll talk about the Friday night shul. Very important topic. For some people.
So you can then move it back.
So that's one of the ways of talking about. You move it to a colder spot that won't possibly be cooked, then you move it back, yeah. So
even though that it's not completely cooked, can you move it back on the fire?
Well, no.
One second.
I'm not asking that. I'm asking it's cooked, but you don't want it to burn. So you move it off to the side, but right before you want to eat it, you want it to warm up again. Then you
can move it back. Correct.
So you're not lifting it up. You just push it.
Does it matter if he's talking about liquid or solid, or does it matter?
No, both are fine because if it's solid, it's solid, and if it's liquid, it's still hot, right? So you don't have to worry about that issue. Right. So now this is so we just discussed this din. We just said this halacha that if you want to take something off the flame and put it back on, you have to have these four things that are all going to be involved, right? So why? What are we concerned about now? Right? I'm not cooking because it's either the liquid is still going to be hot or if it's solid, it's already cooked. Right? I'm not adjusting the flame because I got my blech on. So what can I be concerned about now?
It gets cold.
Maybe you didn't like the taste of it, so you're putting it back to get better?
Or that you'll stir it and make it taste
better? But I can't be stirring. No, it's already cooked. I already know it's already cooked. So even though maybe I might be getting it a little bit better, really, according to the way we hold as Ashkenazim, it would be mutzu to put back on at that point. Okay, so that's not the issue. Assuming it's not raw.
So we're holding onto the pot and holding onto, say you're serving soup. You take it off the hot part of the blech and you're moving it to the cold part.
Right.
Holding onto the pot and ladling it out.
Right.
But you're having the intent to put it back because you want to keep it hot.
Right.
That was your intent.
That's what I want to do. So why do I need all of this stuff?
If I don't put it back, then it'll get cold.
No. Why do I need what halachic consideration am I nervous about right now? Right? I can't cook it anymore. It's already cooked. I can't turn the fire up and down because I have a blech on. So what could I be concerned about at this point?
Intent. You're not concerned to take it off, and you never intended to put it back on.
But so what?
Yeah, so,
but so what? What am I concerned about? What could I violate?
There's people who think that you can't return it to the blech. I mean, that's.
Why not? What's the issue? Why can't we? We were discussing what?
If it's not hot, you cannot. If it's still hot, you can.
Why? Even if it's cold, why can't I put it back on?
Liquid.
What?
Liquid.
No. Liquid, not liquid. Sal. Why can't I take my potato kugel and put it back on?
Solid, you
can. Directly onto the blech. I could take solid out of my fridge and put it onto the blech.
You can.
Yeah. So there are those that assume that you can. most practice is not. What? Right. So there is that. You're quoting the Ran, and the Ran writes that there's no problem. I've taken care of my covering issue. I've taken care of my fire issue. I've taken care of the fact that it's not going to be cooking anymore. So what's there to worry about? Forget the idea of holding on. Forget all this business. I'm taking it. It's Friday night. I put all my stuff in the fridge. It's Shabbos morning. I want the stuff to be hot. I'm taking it out and putting it onto my blech. Right, so the Ran says that's mutter, and there are those that even Bizman Hazeh recommend to do it. There's a dispute whether Rav Soloveitchik, the story goes that Rav Soloveitchik taught that to his Bala Batim in Boston. As long as it was on the flame at the beginning of Shabbos, you could put it in the fridge and take it back out, and no problem. Right? Most assume not like that. Right? There's a question whether Soloveitchik meant it the Olam Vod, that it should always be, or that was only what he was teaching. But whatever it is, most assume not like that for a reason. What other concern could I possibly have?
That your neighbors come in and think you're cooking.
Oh, very good. How do you know that?
I'm guessing.
Very good. There's something, not Marasayim, but there's something called Mechse Kemevashel, that it looks like I'm cooking. Right? Maybe it is like Marasayim. Marasayim, that there is an idea that I'm not allowed to do something that looks like I am cooking on Shabbos. Now, it can't be just having something on the flame, right? It has to be a personal, if it's something that's on the flame, so nobody's seeing anything, right? I mean, it's not going to look any different if I took it out of the fridge and put it on Shabbos morning and it's sitting on the flame when the guests come in, or it was on over the course of the entire night, right? It looks the same. It's sitting on a blech, right? So the prohibition would be, when I put it back on, the action of me putting it back onto a blech is something that we call mechse kimivashel. It looks like I am doing bishel. It looks like I am doing bishel, and that is another concern. So that's what guides us for the rest of this year. So the Shulchan Aruch that we just read, all of these conditions, what is the purpose of all of these conditions? The purpose of all of these conditions is to demonstrate that it's not Mechse Kemevashel. Right? If somebody would be watching me, they'll see that I held it the whole time. It wasn't cooled off. It wasn't put in the fridge. Nothing happened to it. I just took it off for a minute to do something with it, either dish out or whatever reason I'm taking it off for a second. But I held on to it the whole time. Now I'm putting it back into place, right? It's not Mechse Kemevashel. It can't be Mechse Kemevashel. So I've now solved all three of my problems, right? I'm not cooking, right? We're very worried about that. I'm not going to rake the coals, right? Because I have a blech. And number three, right? There's a possibility that it may look like I'm cooking. It doesn't look like I'm cooking because I'm doing all these weird things of holding it on and I had in mind the whole time putting it back. All those different things to make sure it's not Mechse Kemevashel.
What if you put it in some sort of a, I wouldn't say vessel, but a container, like you put it, just say, in aluminum foil where you know you're not cooking it.
So now the question is, okay, I don't want to leave my chicken on my blech the entire night, right? I don't want to do that. It's going to dry out. If I leave it away from the blech, it's going to spoil. Whatever it is, it's not going to be good. It's going to be black. It's going to be burnt. It's going to be bad, right? So is there another way that I could accomplish this third concern? Right, so maybe I don't even have the concern, right? Rav Soloveitchik didn't really have a concern, right? It's not Mechse Kemevashel, right? Don't have to worry about it. But most people assume that we have this concern of Mechse Kemevashel, right? Is there a way that how can I alleviate that concern if the food was in the refrigerator all night? Right?
On blech?
What?
The unblech.
The unblech.
Like an aluminum pan.
What? A pot on a pot.
A pan upside down.
So all of these suggestions, all of these suggestions that are shooting out right now are all, if I could heat it up in a way that nobody would ever cook in that way, so now I've avoided the concept of mechzik and mevasho. So those possibilities will include, right, this idea, this the second to last source in Shulchan Aruch. Mutter lases al pi kederes chamen b'Shabbos. It's permitted for me to put it on top of a hot pot on Shabbos. Tavshel shenisbash mi'erev Shabbos kol shorcho, as long as it was completely cooked before Shabbos. Kagon pandish, I think that's like a tzimis or something like that. I'm not sure what pandish is, some kind of kugel. Right, v'chiyotzi behen, and similar things like that. If anybody's an excellent, anybody knows a culinary thing, you know, crack out culinary things, you can shout out. But some pandish is some kind of like a salad-ish type thing. L'cham to heat it up. L'fi she'ein derech bishul b'kach, because there is no way to cook it in that. Nobody cooks that way. Aval l'hat min tachas ha'begadim ha'nasin al gabi chameim v'aday yaser. But to insulate it, that we're not allowed to do. Insulation we'll talk about next week. Right, but the Shulchan Aruch is spelling out, as long as I will never cook in this way. So I'm not cooking, right? I'm not gonna rake the coals because I have a blech, and now it doesn't look like I'm cooking anymore because nobody would ever cook by putting your food on top of another pot. Right? So it's no longer enough to have a blech. Right? Now I need something else on top of the blech and then something else on top of that. Says the Mishnah Berurah to explain it, the last source. The after kaimalansha asr litin lechatchila b'Shabbos al hakira feeling special called tzorcho, even though I know that it's prohibited to lechatchila put something on Shabbos on a kira, even if it was already cooked, meaning directly onto the kira, even if it's covered. V'hu davar cham v'gam hakira grufa v'ktuma, even though the kira, meaning the oven that they had in those days, was covered. Hasam atamishum denira kemevashel. There, the reason is because it looks like I'm cooking b'Shabbos derech mishal b'kachlus. That's how people would cook. Aval hacha in der mishal b'kach. But now, because I have what we call kedera al gabi kedera, I have the pot going on top of another pot. That's not how anybody cooks. They have to kedera with the separation of the kedera. Ve'ein nira kemevashil. Ve'im yeshba harbe shuman shenikra sheish lahachem yishum nolad shenimuach hashuman. If there's a lot of fat, that the fat's going to melt and it's going to look to a liquid, so maybe you should be machmir in that case because it's becoming liquidy and it looks like you've created liquid. You shouldn't do that. But as long as it's a regular kugel, as long as it's something that won't create that much liquid, right? It's a regular kugel. Right, so I put it on top of something else. So that's one possibility. That's the Mishnah Berurah's possibility. So what other possibilities would we have nowadays of it not being mechzik and mevashel, of avoiding it being mechzik and mevashel? Right. Well, so that's where the hot plate comes from. That's where the hot plate comes from. Right. The hot plate is that nobody ever cooks on a hot plate. People only heat up on a hot plate. So that's why many poskim assume that you could just, if you have your hot plate on, you could put the food directly onto the hot plate and you don't have to worry because nobody heats up with a hot plate. There are two concerns with that. Concern number one is, well, just that it does cook isn't necessarily a problem because nobody cooks that way. So it's still not mechzik and mevashel. There's two problems with that. Number one is that the hot plates are too hot and will burn your food. So we realized that after one Shabbos in Riverdale. Anyways, you're going to need a pot on top of the hot plate. The other concern is I was teaching this din to my friend, now Uriel Rodriguez. His name, his whole life was not Uriel, as you might guess. And as we were learning this, I told him, and nobody in their right mind would ever cook on a hot plate. He says to me, when I was in the army, that's how we cooked all the time. That's, we weren't allowed to have gas. That's how we cooked. So I said, "Don't tell anybody."
Why you need the head shell?
What?
That's why you need the head shell.
I always wonder the head shell decides if the temperature is
Not nice. Okay. I'm even without a heckscher, assuming nobody would cook that way, it would be okay. Now, just because there's a couple people in one place that might cook that way, whatever. If it's hot enough that it will cook, I think most people, anyways, will put the separation down.
Are you using the definition of hot plate, the little electric thing? That's also called a hot plate.
So if it's the little electric thing that I think my parents got once for opening up a bank account at Citibank, right? Right. So that's not doing anything.
So that's what he used in the Army.
Right. No, he was talking about something a little hotter.
You don't mean the tray.
If it's something that would never cook, so that it would never cook, you don't have to worry about it. If it's something that could possibly cook, if nobody would ever cook that way, so then you still don't have to worry about it. If there are people that do cook that way, so then you have to start being concerned. But the practicality is that even though people might cook that way, it's probably too hot. The hot plates that you buy in the frum stores are really very hot nowadays.
Hot trays.
The platas are very hot. So anyways.
Hot plate is like a little lesser
thing. Yeah, so if you have a control on it, so then you have to figure out a blech. Right, if you have a control line, you got to figure out a bluff. The non-adjustable hot plates, many assume you could just put the food directly on it.
So if you have one of these, I have one particular kind of hot plate that's very hot. So if it comes very hot, then I have to put a pot on a pot? It's like a...
So not necessarily. You might have to put a pot on a pot in order not to burn your food.
Right.
But because in practicality, very few people will cook that way. It's very rare, although maybe you could do a study, but I think it's very rare that people cook that way. So in theory, you could put the food directly on it. So what's the story with the water blech? What's the story with the water blech? So the water blech, very simply, what they did was set up a sheet of foil of metal. They put water in it, and then they put a blech, a piece of metal on top of it. So what they've set up is, what is the water blech then? The water blech then is a hot plate. Is a pot. It's basically a pot that's sitting on a fire. Right, they're sitting directly on a fire, by the way. You might want to recognize that. You basically have a pot of water that's sitting on a fire, and then you put a pot on top of that. So that there you got your kedera al gabe kedera. I think if somebody has that, certainly yeshal milis. Well, there are, in my yeshiva, the Rav Shechter HaWillig, we're not so thrilled with it, because... it just looks like a fat blech. It doesn't look, you're not really avoiding the issue of Mexican avashel. But certainly those that have it, and certainly those that bought it, having in mind that this is what you're going to do with it, certainly yeshami lisvach. That's why I don't.
And there's no colder place to put food. Everything is equally
hot. Yeah, okay. Part of the deal.
Going back to the hot plate that you get from Walmart that has the adjustable thing.
Right.
So, a blech on top of it, could that just be a piece of aluminum foil, or does it have to be more expensive?
Yeah, so my recommendation is when it's so obvious. I mean, those things very often, like the adjuster, is like right in front of you. I mean, I guess it's like that by a blech, by a flame also. When there's no flame, I'd recommend both. I'd say you cover it with aluminum foil would work as a blech for these purposes.
Turn it around.
So it's against the back of the stove, and then
Right. Or you could take off the knob, or cover the knob, or turn it away so that she won't see it.
So it's just to cover. Okay, so it's not like okay. Yeah, I mean, or you can put a piece of tape on it.
Right.
Mine's taped up.
Right.
You do that, you still have to cover it
before. Yeah, so Rav Moshe, to be able to Rav Moshe, but could I a sheet of aluminum foil to be Yossi Rav Moshe Feinstein? So the crock pots, I meant to talk about that. How are we doing here? Unfortunately, we got to stop short because I got
a pot.
So we'll discuss the crock pot next week.
Is the pot on the stove with your chowl the same as a crock pot?